Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading a story called To Love a Phantom. This story is a part of a collection of stories called 54 Sleepless Nights, written by Tobias Wade. Links to the audiobook and the book on Amazon will be in the description of this episode if you want to pick yourself up a copy and support this author. If you choose to do that, let me know. I'd love to say thank you on behalf of them for letting me read these stories. Anyway, let's get started. I didn't know I loved her until I lost her. When I first met her, I wanted her with a passion. But that single-minded obsession didn't leave room for thoughts. Then we grew accustomed to each other, spending so much time together that we forgot what it was to be alone. We navigated life's inconveniences and problems together, letting petty resentments and doubts cloud what should have been bliss. I should have known then that was love, but it was just the way things were, and I couldn't imagine life any other way. Even when I was alone, the voice in my head belonged to her, though, every thought a reflection of hers. Nothing was beautiful until I shared it with her and heard her wonder. No meal tasted much of anything without her exclamations of fulfillment. She was in the hospital for several days before she slipped into a coma. I hate that I thought she was exaggerating her illness for sympathy and attention at first, but it was only because I wasn't capable of imagining a world without her. And then sitting beside her bed, her eyes closed, her breathing slow, all the thoughts I hadn't allowed myself to think came rushing in at once. I felt like I forgot how to breathe. I held on to her limp hands so hard that I was shaking. It just didn't make sense to me how I could feel so much without her feeling anything when she was a part of me. "Don't worry, love. I can feel you there," came her whispered words. Those words should have given me hope, but they terrified me. Her eyes hadn't opened. Her slightly parted lips hadn't moved. Her pale skin hadn't flushed with life. But I had heard her words as clearly as though she'd spoken. I held onto her hand for dear life, studying her passive face as more whispered words slipped through the air. "Whatever happens to my body, my spirit will always be with you." Then I felt her around me as soft as mist. I even saw her standing there, a slight discoloration of the air to mark where her arms were wrapped around me. It was too insubstantial to embrace back, but I felt a distinct difference as she released me and moved through the air to the door. "I'm going home. Why aren't you following?" the spirit said to me. "Don't wait for what is already gone." Mesmerized as though in a dream, I followed the colored shape of her through the hospital without anyone else seeing her. She kept me company while I ate dinner, and she laughed at how distraught I'd allowed myself to get. I closed my eyes and listened to her whisper. It really didn't feel any different than having her here. When I laid down to sleep, I told her that this was enough, her spirit all I'd ever need. Her spirit became a new normal that I grew accustomed to. She was always waiting for me when I got home, prattling on about the gossip she'd overheard while slipping unnoticed through the world. She made fun of me for wanting to go visit her sleeping body, and it really did feel silly when the soul I'd loved so much was right beside me. The longer this went on, the realer she felt, especially right when I was drifting off to sleep, when I could even feel the warmth of her pressed along the length of my body. This went on for over a month before I got the call from the hospital that she had woken up. The doctor sounded annoyed at me and said she'd been trying to reach me for days but hadn't gone through. It was uncomfortable having the conversation while her spirit was there watching me the whole time, but for some reason I was still excited to tell her the good news. "No, she hasn't," her spirit said the moment I ended the call. "I'm still here." "But she'll be able to go back to your old life," I protested, not understanding. "If you really love me, then prove it. Stay here with me and don't go back to the hospital." It didn't make any sense to me, but she was insistent, and her presence was so intoxicating that I didn't answer the next two times the hospital called. Her spirit praised me for my loyalty to her each time, but something still felt wrong. I had trouble sleeping that night and couldn't stop thinking about how much better it would be to have the real living body there with me. The next day, I visited the hospital on the way home from work, telling myself I could always pretend I was working late if the spirit was bothered by it. It was harder than I expected seeing my love's body in the hospital, knowing her spirit was waiting for me back at home. Her body was still looking sickly and weak, and I couldn't stop thinking how much more beautiful her spirit was. The body was happy to see me, though, and she kept talking about not being able to wait until she got home. Then she leaned in to kiss me, and I gave in to it without thinking. I spoke to the doctor before I left, and she scowled at me, apparently looking down at me for not being more attentive. The recovery was far from complete, and atrophied muscles would need rehabilitation and help. I couldn't promise when I could come visit again, though, and I'm pretty sure the doctor was swearing at me under her breath as I hurried out the door. I could feel the spirit's anger as soon as I stepped inside my home. The discoloration in the air had a darker hue, and her soft presence had a tense edge like the electricity before a storm. "You said I'm all you need," the spirit accused me at once. I was on the defensive immediately. I couldn't lie, but neither could I easily admit or even understand what I'd done wrong. "You only want me for my body," she accused me, not listening to anything I had to say. "You never loved me for who I really am." The open windows suddenly closed, their curtains whipping shut. I heard the door lock behind me. "She needs my help," I protested. "You need my help. You'll be happier in your own body too. You shouldn't be fighting this." We had a long talk that night, and eventually she promised to come with me to visit the hospital the next day. I thought things were finally going to go back to normal after that, but that night as I fell asleep, the spirit's presence had never felt so tangible, more like smoke than mist, with a bitterness that burned my throat when I breathed her in. I couldn't imagine what she must be going through, so I pretended not to notice, hoping things would be right again after tomorrow.
Her spirit was there waiting for me when I entered the hospital room. The spirit was in an empty chair with her arms crossed, darkly colored with trails of steam or smoke drifting up off her body to cloud the ceiling of the room. "I was hoping I'd see you today," the body said. "She's dying," the spirit spoke over her, so that it was hard to listen to them both at once. "Her body's wasting away." "Did you have a chance to speak to the doctor?" the body asked tentatively. "She's a burden now," the spirit continued bitterly. "You won't love me anymore if you have to deal with her." I turned helplessly between the two of them, unsure of what to say. "What are you looking at?" the body pressed, studying the empty chair where the spirit dwelled. "If you love me," the spirit began. "If you really love me," both of them said aloud in perfect unison, "then we can get through this together." "But only if you take care of me," the body said. "But only if you kill her," the spirit snapped. I closed my eyes and took a deep breath, smelling the bitterness in the air, but remembering the warmth and joy she used to bring. "Sooner or later she'll be gone," the spirit hissed. "But I'll be there forever. You know what has to be done."
"You'll have to leave your job, at least for a while," the body continued.
"I need to be the only thing in your life right now. I need your undivided attention," they both said in unison.
"Do you love me? Do you really love me?"
"Of course I love you," I said, not opening my eyes, not showing any sign of who I was addressing. The body thought she was the only one there, but I could feel the spirit's anger at my indecision. There was a roar of shattering glass as the window exploded inwards, and an alarm started sounding at the nurse's station. I opened my eyes to see my love's body convulsing as the black smoke poured into her nose and mouth. I was shoved out of the way as two nurses jostled past me to attend to her, and I dared not get close to her while they worked. I thought everything was going to work out, and that the spirit in the body would be joined again. But the longer she seized, the more frantic the nurses became, the more convinced I was that the spirit was trying to kill the body.
"Please don't hurt her," I begged.
"I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do," the nurse replied, thinking I was speaking to them. The other nurse checked his watch. "Time of death?" The house has never been so quiet, but I know she's still here somewhere. I can tell by how dark the place is, even with the lights on, and the acid taste of the air. I don't know if she'll ever overcome her jealousy and doubt, nor do I know if I'll ever be able to love her again after what she's done. Our bitterness is poison to each other, but neither of us are strong enough to leave. Every night I feel her suffocating presence wash over me, and I tell her I love her all the same, too afraid to try to live without her, or to ever be alone. And that's the end of this story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, let me know. I don't know what your options are wherever you are, but if you're on YouTube, I'd love it if you'd like the video and subscribe, because then YouTube will maybe push these to more people and I can get a few subscribers, and that would be nice. Let me know what you thought in the comments. If you're anywhere else, I'm not sure what your options are, but I appreciate you for stopping by and watching and listening. If you'd like to support the channel even more, you can do so on patreon.com. And if you'd like to talk to the rest of the community, well, there's like 115 of them at the time of speaking, or recording, I guess would be the proper term, you can join Discord. Links will be in the description of this episode, and a little bit more there too. So I hope you enjoyed yourself. Let me know what you thought, and I guess we'll see you in the next one. So take care now. Bye-bye then.